hold your place there in Ephesians 5, and then turn back to Job and chapter 38. Ephesians and chapter 5, Job and chapter 38. I've been enjoying myself immensely this week. I've already had God deal with me in my heart about some areas of my life while these brethren been preaching, and I've enjoyed the singing, enjoyed the fellowship, getting to see and to meet preacher friends that I don't get to see as often as I'd like, and then my Christian brothers and sisters that also that some I've grown to love over the years and get to see you, and it's just been good to be here. You know, I oftentimes think it's serving the Lord is not always, it's not always fun, and it's not always easy. It always is a joy, but you know, sometimes I'll just be honest with you, it's just downright enjoyable, fun, and everything. You know, I mean, and you know, when you think about it, we got all this, and we got heaven to look forward to. You know, I mean, it just you know, in the world, this right here in the world, as far as the lost are concerned, this is the closest thing to heaven they'll ever. It ain't going nowhere but downhill for the world. I mean, you take their best day and or their worst day, and it's downhill. For us, you take our best or our worst. I mean, this is the closest thing to hell I'm ever going to experience. You take my best day or my worst day, and I can't go nowhere but up. And it's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. But I want to take my time this morning and share with you some thoughts. You know, we've been saying a lot about the Lord coming back, and been mentioning a lot about music and talent. And some years ago, I guess it's been now, I don't know, 12 or maybe 15 years ago, God gave me a sermon on music. That's what I want to, you're not going to believe this, but I'm preaching on music this morning. God gave a sermon on music. And I don't know much about it, to be honest with you. But it's like a lot of things, you know, you don't have to be a zoologist to understand a few things about animals. All you need to know about animals is that they have teeth and they bite. That's all you need to know. Famous last words are, "Preacher, that dog won't bite you." I don't believe that. Dogs have teeth for the same reason you and I have them, to bite things. That's the only reason anything's got teeth. And I'm a little more discriminated about what I chew on and bite on. You know, animals, they'll bite you. Matter of fact, I was in a meeting last week. It was a camp-type meeting out in the woods. And, you know, these young bucks, they was out there playing splat ball. And late at night, it was after the service, so we went to about 11 o'clock, so it was past midnight. And they got on their camouflage, and they got, I mean, some of these guys, they've got these splat guns. I mean to tell you, they're something else. They're like a machine gun. I mean, they'll throw them paintballs out there quicker than you can blink your eyes. And they was out there, and a fella had brought his two pet German shepherds out to the meeting. I mean, you could tell by looking at these dogs, they're bad dogs. The bigger they are, usually the badder they are. But there's some dogs that, you know, you got the Chihuahua kind, you know, and that's not really a dog. That's just a rat with a genetic defect, you know. But, you know, you ain't got to worry about that kind of mutt. You know, it's just all yap. That's all it is. But them German shepherds just look at you, and you know you're dealing with an animal now. You got, and they got that real deep, you know. Now, you hear that, you know, you got to watch out. And he had these things chained up. I mean, with a big chain. He did. He had them chained up and out there near his tent. And these guys are playing splat ball. And one guy came through there with, you know, with his camouflage on, run through. And that dog got so excited. It literally, I saw the chain. It broke the chain. That chain don't mean nothing. It broke that chain, and I mean, it came up a whomp. I mean, it got a hold of that dude. He was shooting that dog at. I mean, he had pain. I remember what. They had to take him to the hospital. If it wouldn't have been for that, it would have been hilarious. I mean, all that pain. So that all it did was aggravate the dog. You'd be better just lay down so you just chew on me, you know, and get it over with, you know. But animals, you know, I don't understand a lot of things, but I know enough about it to try to keep myself out of trouble. And when it comes to music, you don't have to, you know, I'm not a syncopated genius about anything, but there's enough in the Bible, and use a little common sense, you can get a few things. I don't know anything about music. I don't know what one note, I know there's got these little formulas. Every boy does awful, and there's another one, I can't think of the other little formula, but I don't know where them things go. I know that has something to do with the music, and they go on little lines or something. I have no idea where it goes. I can carry a tune as long as, like Brother McGee, as long as I don't get somebody in this side and this side, you know, to foul me up, I can pretty well carry a tune. But I want to talk to you, if I might, from a practical. This is just a practical plane, and about music. And I've not preached this in a long, long time, but I feel like this is what I want to do this morning. In Job chapter 38, the title of this is The Importance of Music. And I sometimes feel us fundamentalists, especially, we don't give a lot of things the importance that God does. And music is very, very, very important. Very important. I'll tell you what, our country is being destroyed. To a large extent, some of the help involved is music and musicians. Very important. He says in Job chapter 38, God now is kind of reaming out old Job here in this part. Said, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath weighed the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together? Now I'll tell you what, you know, some of this Hollywood crowd, they think they can sing, but I'll tell you what, them stars out in Hollywood, you couldn't hold a candle to these stars right here. I'd like to have heard this deal here. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with the doors when it breaketh forth as if it had issued out of the womb? And then turning to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, I just want to establish the importance of music. We see there, from the lips of God, that music was associated with the creation itself. And then in Ephesians 5, it's already been mentioned or quoted, but in Ephesians in chapter number 5, and look if you would with me at about verse number, let's look down at about verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if that takes place, filling of the Spirit, and this really is the only way you can do this properly, in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to stand here and the honor it is to be in this meeting and be allowed to share the platform with these other men of God. I thank you for the message our dear brother preached to us. Brother Marshall preached the message to us there out of Kings. Lord, it was a blessing. I learned something, and I thank you for it. I pray now that you'll take these few little thoughts here and help us to share something that might be a blessing and a help to somebody. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. He's worthy. Amen. Now, the part I read to you there in the book of Job is talking about something that took place, I guess, somewhere after Genesis 1:1. And music and those kinds of singing and all that stuff, it's very, very important. You cannot divorce it away from God and away from heaven and things that God's involved in. And God, music was invented or created by God. But like everything else the Lord ever made, if He made it, it was good. But I guarantee you, everything God's got that's good, the devil will take it and twist it and turn it into something that's harmful. The other great area, and without any doubt, no contradiction, or anybody wouldn't disagree with this, you take, for example, sex. That's one of the greatest gifts God ever gave to mankind. There's nothing wrong or nasty or filthy about it. But you take it out of the context. that God put it in and that God gave it in, and it will become a curse to you. Our nation, I'm telling you, our nation, we're in trouble. And it's because we have taken, God's formula was one man and one woman for one life. And you can't go wrong there, friend. The marriage bed is undefiled. I mean, amen. Just, you know, have at it. Have yourself a big time. I'm not that old myself, and I like smooching. I do. I like them suck face kind of kisses. I don't like this. I like to get into it now. Ain't nothing wrong with that. And but it's so important. That wasn't funny. I mean, this is a serious part here. Man alive. But ain't nothing wrong with that. But you take it out of the context that God gave it. When they talk about safe sex nowadays, there's no such thing as safe sex. There is sanctified sex, but God knows nothing about safe sex. You'd be better off. Your odds would be better to play Russian roulette than play safe sex with condoms that fail as often as they do. I mean, the world is absolutely crazy. They talk, and they live in a fairy tale world. And divorcing God out of it, and the Bible has no bearing on it whatsoever, and they go on in their fairy tale world, and now we're seeing the results of it, venereal diseases, and I mean, AIDS is just one. I mean, there's a host of others. We don't hear anything anymore about syphilis and gonorrhea, and my friend, those take their toll also. But it's because God gave some good, but the devil takes it and twists it and turns it into something that's not right. And you take it out of the context God gave it, and it will become a curse to you. And so it is with music. And you know, you can tell a lot about a nation, where they are, as far as in their decline, if you look at their culture and see what passes off for talent in the area, basically, of art and music. You find out what a nation thinks is art and is talent in the art field, and you look at it, and you can tell by looking at it how far they are down the road, the deterioration of their culture and their nation. By the same token, you look at what they call talent and what they call music, and you can see how far you are down the road of deterioration. We have nowadays, I don't know, I'm not an art critic. I'm not talented like that. I cannot draw. I cannot paint. I can't even draw a stick man figure. I got no talent in that area whatsoever. I mean, I draw a hangman, and my kids used to didn't know what it was. I said, you can see a man hanging by his neck right there. I can't even draw that and make it look right. But I tell you what, I cannot produce art, but I know when I see it. I cannot produce and compose good music and then play it. I can't do it, but I know it when I hear it. And you can tell, I went to one art show in my whole life. My wife and I were downtown Detroit. This has been years ago. We were down there. And my wife, you know, she's the more aesthetic of the two of us, I guess. And she wanted to go up. They're having an art show, a top floor of the J.L. Hudson Company downtown. And so I took my wife up there. We walked in and we were looking at this stuff. And honestly, I'm talking this like 20-some years ago. And we were looking at stuff. And you know, listen, if you have to look at it and you can't tell what it is. You see, if you're looking at it and you don't know what it is, you know some idiot painted the thing, and you know it probably costs a whole lot of money, but it's not real art. I had my doctor one time, he bought a brand new picture, he had it hanging in his office up in Alaska, and I was looking and I couldn't figure out what it was, and he told me, the preacher, he said, what's that painting say to you? I said, well, first of all, say something to me yourself. How much did you pay for it? He said, oh, I said, man, you wouldn't believe it. I said, well, how much? He said, I paid $1,200 for it. I said, well, that painting says to me, you're a fool. That's what it says. We're up there walking around that art show, you know, and this one painting, honestly, I don't know. I don't know what, to this day, I don't know what it was. I was looking at that thing, I said, Lord, have mercy, what in the world is that? And I thought, well, maybe they hung it upside down, you know, so I got it, and I was looking like this. And I told him, well, I said, no, it ain't upside down. I said, that is the awfulest looking piece of mess I ever saw in my life. And the curator fella had on a tuxedo, you know, and a bow tie, and he was standing back there, a bald-headed fella. He was standing back there. He said, and I turned around, and he said, sir, it's obvious to see that you're not a connoisseur of the arts. I said, I said, sir, it's obvious to see you don't know art when you see it. That ain't art, that's garbage. And I said, well, no, it's not garbage. I think there's $6,000 price tag on it. I said, that's garbage. You know, you see. But you can tell. And you tell, like, it ought to be in the music area. I mean, we got rap music. I can do that. Listen to this. We're driving down the highway, going 75. Ain't no time to make me jive. You say you don't like the way I drive? Well, then stay off the sidewalk, amen? I mean, anybody can do that. That doesn't take no talent. Any fool can do that. We're a long, long way down the road. But I want to talk to you about music. Hey, that ain't bad. I got to write that down, man. I'm cutting your record here. Write that down, man. I'll have to remember that, incorporate that. If I had time, I'd moonwalk for you, show the difference between dancing and fooling around, too. So, you know, that's what passes off for dancing. I mean, you know, Fred Astaire, I mean, he's a lost, hellbound idiot, but he had talent. Anybody can walk backwards, moonwalk. You know. I can Mars walk, man. I can top that. But I don't have time to do that right now. But I want to talk to you. I mean, music, we all know the importance of music. It was associated with redemption in the book of Exodus. It was associated with persecution in Acts chapter 16, associated with fellowship in Colossians 3, and associated with the consummation of the entire works over in the book of the Revelation, as it's already been made mention. But why, on a practical plane in our lives, what is so important? How, listen, our culture, our country is totally premated by music. You cannot get away from it. You're not going to get it. I don't care. Go to the shopping mall. Go wherever you want. You're going to have to listen to music. It's very important. Now, the reason being is because, first of all, I submit to you that music strikes chords of memory. You know why music is so important? It's so important what you listen to. Because I want to tell you something, friend. That the human brain is an amazing thing. And they tell me that it never forgets anything. I don't know about that. They say it's in there somewhere. I got a photographic memory. I just can't recall it in time, you know. But they say everything goes in there, and it's in there. And I'll tell you what, music strikes chords of memory like nothing. You want to memorize something? Set it to a little musical jangle. I mean, listen, the advertising world has made a fortune out of that principle. The Bible said, the psalmist said over in Psalm 137, they were in captivity. And they said, always said, there we sat down by the rivers of Babylon. Yea, we wept when we remembered our nation. Said, we hung our harps on the midst of the willows, therefore, for there they carried us away captive, said, required of us a song, and said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Oh, he said, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I remember not Zion above my chief joys. Let my hand forget her cunning if I do not regard thee. Listen, music strikes chords of memory like nothing else in the world. As I said, you know, anybody here knows there's little advertising jingles, and I mean, I remember one time, it's been years ago, this is probably in the good one anymore, but I remember there used to be a beer commercial. I don't know where I heard it. Well, I don't know where I heard it at, really, but I was out on visitation. I was going around, you know, knocking on doors, and I was walking up this door, and I was doing this thing, you know, how something gets, it goes over and over and over in your mind, and it goes ba-bum, bum, bum, ba-bum, bum, 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 bum. That's a beer song. It has something, I don't know what kind it is, but if you ain't got that kind, you're out. I mean, you ain't got it. And I don't even drink this stuff, but it somehow got in my mind, and it just went over and over and over. It's amazing how that the world capitalizes on principles, and some of God's people ain't got it figured out yet. Listen, it's important what you listen to, because friend, 15, 20 years from now, it's going to bring back some memories. Listen, it's a shame if a man or a woman has to go back to the garbage can of the world to get songs to remind them of their courting days with their wife. You're setting up some memory in your mind now. And oh, I tell you what, the songs of Zion, I can't hear songs, some of them like Victory in Jesus. It carries my mind back to a Sunday school class back about 25 years ago where I was and where dear man taught me the Word of God and where I was when God called me to preach. I can't hear songs like, there's a song that says Coming Home. I can remember it being sung. I was sitting back seventh row from the rear on the aisle seat. They were singing that song, and I mean, my heart was torn up. God was working me over to fare thee well. I sat back there in that pew. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. I never hear that song that doesn't come rolling back into my mind. Music strikes chords of memory like nothing else does. You better be careful what you listen to. It'll strike chords of memory. And then not only that, but music sets the mood. Now, it ain't nothing easier than this to prove. Music sets the mood. There in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the king Saul was having a problem. He was a very moody man. And boy, he had some problems with some evil spirits sent from God. And they said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll send for somebody that can really play on the harp. And you know the story, David came in. This Bible said when David played, it just kind of soothed this fella. And I mean, it set a mood there in the palace and in his house there. And it's amazing what music, what it can do for setting the mood. Listen, I've never been in a church service yet. Didn't start out with music usually. Why? We're attempting to set a mood. You've been out there in the hustle and the bustle and the business and the merchandise, and we're coming into God's house. We got just a couple of hours on Sunday morning to try to, you know, do something, get some truth in you. What are we doing? We're trying to set a certain mood. I mean, it comes time for the invitation. There are invitation songs. I mean, you don't have an invitation to say, the fight is on. No, that you're trying to set a mood. And music, like nothing else, sets a mood. I mean, you take some young fella, you know, the bachelor, the swing, and he goes and gets his girlfriend. He gets all stiffed up, squirts him on some of that good smelling foo-foo. He gets that girl, takes her out, wines and dines her, and brings him to the bachelor pad. You go in his apartment. He's got them kind of lights on the wall. You don't go over and flick it on and off. It's got a dial. You turn it down real low. And then he's got this $5,000 CD woofer twoofer set up. I mean stereophonic. He's got speakers all over the place. Got speakers under the cushions and everything else. And he gets his little girlfriend sitting down there and pours the champagne out there in the glass, you know. I mean, he's setting this thing, got it all set up. And then he pushes the little button on his CD player. And the music begins just to kind of waft in from all over. And you know what he's playing? It ain't Stars and Stripes Forever. That ain't what he's playing. He ain't playing Sweet Hour of Prayer. He ain't playing Amazing Grace. I mean, this guy is trying to set up a certain mood. I mean, he's got something on his mind, and he's using music to set a certain mood. I mean, anybody, you can read the Bible, you can see that that's true. And listen, the world is capitalized on that. I mean, there's different guys. You got shopping mall music. You ever been to the mall? They got music. You go to the doctor's, they call it doctor's office music. You go to the dentist, they got dentist music now. And I'll tell you what, you know, you go to the, it works a little bit. It works better at the doctor's office than the dentist. It does. There isn't any music in the world that will go along with that drill. You get up in the morning and, walk into the dentist's office. You get down there and you walk and you open the door and there's the music playing. And it sounds something like this. Bong, bong, ba bong, bong, ba bong, ba bong, ba bong. Bum, bum, ba bum, bum, ba bum, bum, bum. And then some kid out in the back, he helps out. Ah! You hear that go. No, that ain't the way it is. They're not putting, because listen, that's what my heart was singing since I got up in the morning and knew I had to go to dentist. I got up there, I got to go to dentist. Bum, bum, you're not going to live. It's all over. Oh, I can see a big loud meal is coming now. I can hear that drill. Oh, it's like scratching their fingers on a blackboard. So you walk in the dentist's office, and that's not the kind of music he's got on. And that is a song, I think. It's the River Volga or something made over there in Russia. But you walk in, and it sounds like this. Da 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 da. You come home. I'm kind of glad I came. It's wonderful. You sit down there, you know, with that magazine 4 years old, and you're looking through there, you know, da 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 da. And what he's doing, he's trying to set a mood. And the world capitalizes on that. Listen, as God's people, we need to remember the kind of music that we listen to, my friend. It sets a certain mood. It does. It strikes chords of memory. Why is it important? It strikes chords of memory. It sets the mood for things. And then not only that, but it settles the soul. So why is music so important? Well, it settles the soul. You know that passage our brother Marshall was preaching from
over there, that was a staging area. They're getting ready to have a battle. Now, any of you men have been in the military, no, you get in a staging area, and it is mass confusion. The only thing more confusing is literal combat. But the staging area where everybody, I mean, it seems like nobody knows what's going on. Mass confusion. People going here. Orders getting shot here. Orders getting over there. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. You're getting ready to go into battle. And it's terribly confusing. And the tension is high. And like you mentioned about the king, you know, the king said, we're all going to die. Well, most of the guys sitting out there, you know, if the king thinks that, I'll tell you what, the private sitting out in the front ranks, he knows he's going to die. The privates die a lot quicker than kings die, I tell you that. You got to go through a lot of privates to get to the king. And you're sitting out there and you don't know what's going to happen. And so they said, man, so we got to hear from God. We need to hear from the Lord. And it says, is there any word from the Lord? And the man of God, or Elisha, came on the scene, as our brother already mentioned. And what did he do? He called. He called for a minstrel. And when he played, it began to settle the soul of that preacher. Music will settle your soul, the right kind. Like I said, you know, the devil's got his counterpart. The right kind, it will settle your soul. I remember when I used to have my own church, and my habit was every Sunday morning I'd go up to the church here real early, and I would get in my office, bow my head, and pray. Then I had a tape. It was the first 10 minutes was a cappella singing. Some women, 4 or 5 women, a cappella singing. 20 minutes in the middle was nothing but instrumental. All them moldy oldies you're talking about, you know, Amazing Grace, just all the ones I knew, you know, but instrumental. Then the last 10 minutes was a male quartet singing a cappella. And I would put that tape on, lean my chair back, and close my eyes, and just listen for 30 minutes. Then when that was done, I'd spend a few more minutes in meditation. And then I'd begin to pray. And then I would, what I was doing, I was settling my soul. I mean, listen, you know, preachers are like everybody else. Man, I got problems. I got pressures. I mean, you know, I live with a woman like you do, you know. I mean, I got domestic situations. I mean, I get up Sunday morning. Seems like nothing can go wrong until Sunday morning. My shoes never ran off anywhere but Sunday morning. My favorite preaching shirt was hanging right in front of my face in my way all week long till Sunday morning. I can't find my favorite preaching shirt. That very necktie that I want to wear. Of course, my wife said I never went with anything, but that was beside the point. That's my favorite necktie. I want my necktie, and I can't find it. And it seemed like, you know, me and my wife always had this agreement. I said, no, honey, I'll let you fuss 6 days of the week. You let me fuss on Sunday. Don't give me a hard time, all right? I mean, you know, I get up and, man, you know, nothing's going right. I get down there to church, and I mean, I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. One of my members is in the jail. You know, I got to go see and this fellow down here. I got this kid in the hospital sick, and I got all this on my mind. And then in just a few minutes, I'm going to have a crowd of people sitting out there that I'm responsible for. I've got young Christians. I've got Christians not 2 weeks old. I've got some sitting out there older than I am in the Lord. And I got to get up and feed that crowd. I got to get up and try to encourage that crowd. I got to get up and rebuke that crowd. I'm going to have lost people in there. I mean, I've got to get my soul settled. I used music. It helps. It helps. It settles the soul. And all my dear friends, meet you and I as God's people, need to remember music is very, very important. I mean, sometimes we, especially us fundamentals, we tag things on like it's just a, I mean, we sing a song at the end just because we sing a song at the end. You can tell some folks how important things are to them. You get to the invitation, you can hear purses being snapped shut, people putting their coats on. I mean, already, their mind is already, it's done, it's over. As our dear brother preached yesterday, most of them came with a preconceived idea anyway. They've come to be entertained. They've come to get a little bit more knowledge so they know how to, you know, argue with a Jehovah's Witness down the street, get another proof text for their pet little doctor or whatever. And they're sitting there, and after the thing the preacher said, the last amen, and they're going to stand for the invitation, the service is over. Their mind is already down at the Burger King or down there at the Ponderosa or else at the fishing bank or out to the lake. And they've already, I mean, if you can keep them that long, you're doing good. The coats are going on. Shoes are being put back on. All kind of stuff. And you know the mind's not on what's going on. And then the song begins to play. And they're already out in their car, see. I mean, their mind. And a lot of things. I want to tell you something, friend. The end of the service, just as important as the beginning of the service, in some cases, might even be more important. But music, we use music And I fear we don't give it its rightful place. Oftentimes, it strikes chords of memory. Music sets the mood. Music settles the soul. And then lastly, I said, this is practical. You don't have to know syncopation. As a matter of fact, I don't even know what that means, Brother Lanny. I know it's a musical term, but I heard somebody, who's one of the big shots from Bob Jones, Garlic, you know. He says that all the time, so it must be something important. Whatever that is, you don't have to know. You don't have to be able to spell it. Yeah, thank the Lord, man. I'd be in trouble. I don't know how to spell that either. And I don't know what it means. I don't have any idea what it means. But you don't have to know all that. You don't have to know all the notes. You don't have to carry a tune in a 10-gallon box. You know, most, and there in Ephesians, it said, singing songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what's a good thing when you get folks that come up and you're saying, what blesses my heart is when I at least get the sense that they're not singing for me. They're singing for the Lord. And you can see it oftentimes on their faces. And I don't know a whole lot, but I see sometimes that some folks here singing to this thing to impress us. And listen, I want to do a good job. God, heaven knows. I mean, listen, I don't care what you do for God. You ought to do it to the best of your ability and do it with all your heart. I mean, and listen, when I get to preach, I oftentimes fumble and bumble and mess up. And sometimes I get done preaching, instead of saying amen, I think I ought to cackle because I laid a big egg. But I want you to know something. When I get up, I mean, I got my heart in it. I want to do as good as I can. I've tried to pray. I've tried to study. I mean, I want to do as good as for the Lord. I want to do my best. I don't want to preach no piece of junk. I want to preach a good sermon. I want to do good. But I'll tell you what, my friend, and I want to be a blessing to God's people. I want to. But oh, that I might please Him. I mean, at the end of the show, I got to stand before Him. I got to give an account before Him. And I'll tell you, I love to hear folks that get up and sing. And man, I mean, you can tell they're singing. That's what makes the Marshall Sermon so, so such a blessing. I mean, they're singing because they're trying to please God. That music, well, I'm telling you, it's important. It settles the soul. Then lastly, when you close here, it strikes or it stirs the emotion. Why is music so important? On a practical plane, it strikes chords of memory. Oh, you'd be surprised. Some of you young folks, you're going to be surprised when you get down the road of ways. And you're going to be somewhere in a camp meeting, somewhere in a church, somewhere. Oh, maybe 1,000 miles from here. And you're going to hear a song sung, and it's going to bring back some precious memories. Some things that you thought you forgot. Some little things that have happened, and maybe something somebody did for you, or some preacher sermon he preached, and boy, I mean, it really did something to your heart, and you don't remember it anymore, but oh, there's going to be a song sung. You're going to hear it on the radio. You're going to hear some choir sing or some church sing, and it's going to bring back some precious memories for you. That's what music is. It strikes chords of memory. Music sets the mood. That's what's very, very important. Very important. What kind of music we have. And, you know, and this has been made mention, and I don't know that all toe-tapping music is bad. I'll just be honest with you. That's my personal opinion. My personal opinion. You know, and I like guitars myself. I don't know, you know, Bob Jones, I don't know. I don't care. You know, I like it. And everybody's got their own style of music and all. And I listen, like I said, I don't understand all this, but I know good music from bad music. And I know, I mean, you sing songs like, for example, Hold the Fort. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus. I mean, man, I want to do more than toe tap. I want to get up and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, hold the fort, yeah, praise God, hold the fort. You want the fort, come and get the fort. Let's get out, get you up. Yeah, pal, you feel a froggy, jump on my chest, I'll lay you to rest. That does something to me, man. I mean, rally around the banner. Rousing soldiers, rally around the banner, onward, forward, and so forth and so on. I mean, I tap my toes, slap my knee. I mean, that music, that's march music, that's military music. I remember when I was in the military, and I spent some time in jungle warfare school because I was in the Navy, and most sailors are wimps, you know, so we don't have no combat training. I didn't ever understand that. That's why I joined the Navy. I told them, I said, I'm not a hero. I didn't join the Marine Corps because I ain't tough enough, man. I got sense. That's why I joined the Navy. I don't want to do all this. Running through the mud and all that junk. I didn't want to do that. That's why I joined the Navy. But they sent us down to Jungle Warfare School. And we had to get down there. You know, we had to hoist these big telephone poles up and run through the sand. And it was operationally, it was run by the Marine Corps. Administratively, it was run by the Navy. And all them jarheads, they just loved it all. It was like a Marine's dream come true. I mean, you got all these squid out there, these sailors, you know. Man, they enjoyed it. Just ran us to death every day. We had to run 5 miles with a pack and all that junk, you know. And that's why I joined the Navy, so I wouldn't have to do all that stuff, you know. But I mean, we'd get out and be gone. Had this big, long run. Man, we're getting back, and I can see in my mind's eye now, we'd come around this one big hill, the last hill, I mean that killer one, I mean you'd already been about 4.5 miles and you're coming up the last hill, and they had it timed. I know they had it, the military, they got everything worked out ahead of time, they had it timed just right. They had a great big drum and bugle corps right over the crest of that hill, and you'd get about halfway up and all of a sudden you'd barely hear that music. Man, you get up there and you get a little bit closer up there, and pretty soon, I mean, you can feel the vibrations off of them big bugles. Drum, I mean, just drumming bugles, that's all they had. Man, they'd be blowing on them bugles and beating on them drums. You'd be running up there, I mean, you just feel like you've got an alligator in your stomach eating a hole out of your side. I mean, sweat burning in your eyes, you know, and just feel like you're going to drop in any minute, and you're going up there. Boy, they'd have them drum and bugle corps up there, you know, they'd be playing some kind of, you know, militaristic march music, you know. Man, and we'd come up through there, you know, bum, 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 bum. You know, man, they'd be playing the Marine Corps hymn, then they'd play the Navy hymn, and I mean, pretty soon, just, I don't know what it was, but man, you'd hear that music. Boy, you get up there, and all of a sudden, you didn't feel as tired as you was before. And you get going up there, and pretty soon, it's amazing. Everybody, you know, you had to stay in step anyway. I mean, when you've got 60 men all running, you better be going in the same direction, and you better be in the same syncopation, or you're in trouble. I'm telling you, we'd be going up there, but I noticed it just seemed like everybody, almost perfection in the timing. I mean, every time, boy, that left foot comes down. I mean, you know, there's a few sounds that honestly, it stirs my heart. There's a few sounds. Everybody ought to get, I don't know if you could even get one, but if you could get a tape of military men jogging, I'll tell you, that'd do something for you. I mean, if I ever run across one, I'm getting one. Just get in the morning and turn it on. There's something about that, man. That's just the left foot going down. You got, you know, heavy on the left foot, and then boom, boom, boom. And you know, hear him going. And we used to do this, you know, be running. And when you go, you be running along there, and everybody, you go, now that don't sound much. You get 65 men doing that. That's cool. You get 65 men all in unison, rah, rah. I mean, man, that stirs me, man. I mean, it gets your blood pumping. You be going up there, hurrah, hurrah. And you get, you know, 65 men pretty soon. You can hear the other group back there. They trying to outdo you. They're back there about a half mile behind you. You can barely hear them. They're over there, hurrah, hurrah. And you get 65 men all in the same pace, all running up the hill. And in perfect timing. They're going up that hill. And I mean, hurrah, hurrah. You come up there. And them bugles are playing. I mean to tell you, there wasn't anybody you couldn't whip at that moment. We turn me loose in the Kremlin, I'll take on the whole Red Guard by myself. Why, man, that music does something to you. Something about that. Music stirs the emotions. The last thing about it. Now, the right kind of music speaks to a man's soul and his spirit. The wrong kind speaks to his flesh. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about it. Boy, I know the difference. I was one night late in a hotel, and I was trying to find out the news. You know, I turned on the Babylonian Idiot box there, and I was turning around trying to find the news. And I come on this deal that's called, I don't know, Night Train or Soul Train. Some had something to do with a train, but wasn't no train there. And I believe it was a show for black folks or something, because they're all black people. And I couldn't believe it. I said, good mice. Oh, what is this? Now I watched about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. It was unbelievable. And I mean, it was like the television was even vibrating, you know. And it looked like you was looking into a big snake pit. And all these people, they run up there. I thought, man, they must have ticks on them or something, you know, something got in their underwear or something, you know, something. Oh, what folks? But I sat there before I knew it, you know. I said, hey, man, I mean, I got enough flesh. I got some flesh hanging on me, pal. And I don't even like that stuff, you know. Man, I want to play the drums for him. I'd make a great drum player, man. I mean, that stuff it'll stir your flesh now. I want to tell you something, friend. Listen, some of that, no matter what kind of music, it does matter. Okay, when I was a young man, I used to be quite a dancer. You wouldn't believe that. But I mean, I could cut a rug. And I'll tell you, well, I can't tell you. I wouldn't tell you things that I learned on the dance floor. I wouldn't tell you. Let me tell you what I didn't learn how to do. I didn't learn how to pray. I didn't learn how to treat a Christian lady. I didn't learn that. I could tell you some things I learned how to do with a lady on the dance floor in public with 500 people standing there. I could tell you that. But I couldn't. I didn't learn anything had anything to do with Christ, anything to do with anything that was good. And I want to tell you something from music. Music, it stirs the emotions. And all, we'll have some music when we get to heaven. Now, I guarantee you, like I said, our brother touched on it yesterday, Brother Hasbrook, and, you know, people talk about natural talent. Listen, there's no such thing as that. You don't have nothing but what God gave you. Nothing. Nothing. And you know, anybody can learn to play the piano. Anybody. I mean, a tone-deaf idiot can learn how to play the piano. You give enough time, you give a teacher there. But, you know, I know what folks say when they say somebody has talent. My daughter never had a piano lesson in her life. She can sit down and play Bach and Beethoven. I mean, she actually knows what all the little squiggles mean on there. She taught herself how to read music. And if I practiced till I got to be an old gray-haired man, I could never play the piano like my daughter. I mean, she's got that, but I want to tell you something, friend. She's hours and hours and hours and hours sitting on the piano. Hours! Oh, my soul, I used to say, Lord God, I wish she'd learn how to play that thing. Man, I mean, just, you know, I wanted her to do it, you know, but I'd go in my office and put my ears and head in there, you know, and say, man, I wish she'd, but oh, she learned how to do it. Boy, she can do it real good. And you know, there's folks that got talent, won't use it for God. And nowadays, we live really in a void. You know, one reason, listen, and like I said, there's no such thing as Christian rock. There's no such thing as that. And God have mercy on us. Listen, and like I said, I'm not a school. I mean, you know, you got to sing a song that was written, you know, at least 100 years ago, you know, with Fanny Crosby wrote, and if she didn't write it, it ain't spiritual. I don't believe that. And there's different kinds of music, and you know, probably you could probably disagree with me, and if you want to be wrong, that's your business. I got the kind of music I like. You got the kind you like. I kind of like that banjo myself, man. That's cool. There's something about a banjo. You know, I like a banjo. And, you know, them violins. I don't know. How do you do that, though? I don't know. Whip that string across there. Make them sounds. I've tried it. I can't do that. I sound like a cat with his tail caught in a screen door or something, you know. But you know, I guess any instrument can be taken and sanctified and used for God. And listen, so you don't have a lot of talent, so you can't sing, so you're stone cold, tone deaf. So what? You can make melody in your heart. Now, maybe they won't let you in a choir somewhere. They won't let me in no choirs. They ain't going to let do that. But I'll tell you what, sometimes if it's a good enough song, I sing with a choir. That's my God-given right. I sing with a choir. Even if I am sitting in the 15th row back there, I sing right along with them. But you know, when I get to heaven, get me some glorified lungs. And I get a glorified vocal box. And that ain't been all stripped out from preaching, you know. I mean, you're talking about singing. You're going to hear some real talent when I get to heaven. Well, right now, I ain't got it. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord. You know, I don't understand my folks that don't sing to themselves. I think there's something wrong with you if you don't sing to yourself. You know, call what you want to, shower, singing, whatever it is. But I want you to know something. Man. I mean, some of the best. You know, I spend a lot of time alone. I do. And I spend a lot of time away from home, in motels. I'm alone a lot. And, you know, I got plenty enough to keep me busy. But usually in the mornings, I get up and in the shower. And I've heard people in the other room, you know, boom, 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 you know, banging on the wall. I get because I get a little carried away sometimes, you know. I like instrumentals more than I do. I like to hear. I like acapella singing, and I like instrumentals. And man, you ought to hear me imitate some. I can imitate different instruments, you know. And man, I get in there, you know. Man, I get the trumpets going, get the trombones going, get the tuba going. Boom, 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 boom. That's the Mickey Mouse Club, man. That's a cool song. But, you know, and it's, I don't know, it just does something for me. Now, it don't do nothing for the guy in the next room, probably. It probably wouldn't do nothing for your wife, but it'd do something for you. And, friend, thank God God has given us. And there are folks that do have talent. And thank God that they've got talent. Now, I'll show you the difference between having talent and not having talent. I'm going to play for you my repertory here. This is the close of my sermon. Right here. I have mastered the universal tune. I can see a jailhouse dark and cold, and inside sat two preachers strong and bold. They said, why should we sit down here and cry? So instead they shouted with their heads held high. Hallelujah, anyhow. I never let my troubles get me down. Whatever problem life may bring, I'll hold my head up high and sing, oh, hallelujah, anyhow. Once I heard about a man named Joe. His trials and afflictions laid him low. His wife says, why don't you trust God and die? Oh, but instead he shouted with his head held high. Whoops. I knew I was going to try and do perfect. Hallelujah. There's a lot of white things in between these black things, friends. Hallelujah, anyhow. I never let my troubles get me down. Whatever problems life may bring, I hold my hand up high and sing, oh, hallelujah, anyhow. Now listen to this. This is cool. That's a cool ditty right there. Now, I'm doing this. This is called a melody of songs. You know, a whole bunch of them stuck together here. You know, you got to listen close here for this next one. Well, the champion marched for 40 days and sent me a man to fight. The Israelites said, well, we got a brave heart, but our feet they're full of fright. Then a boy with a sling and a pocket full of rocks and knew how to trust and pray. That's it.
Says Goliath, this is going to run.
You better go now.
Because I
came here to stay.
Run if you want to,
hide if you will,
but I
came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to try to get up, because I didn't start out to play. Well, it's a battlefield,
but it's not a resurrection room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, hide if you will, but I came here to stay.
Then I got to
go into the other song. It goes like this.
Amazing grace, oh how sweet a sound.
That made
the rest by me.
I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
I did that because I need to swallow my stick. All right,
here's another one.
It's like jumping rope. You got to get in right now.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is night, round yon virgin mark. Oh, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Thank you.
All yours, Doc.
What in the world am I supposed to do with it, huh? Wonderful. We'll have you back by Christmas, Quintana, brother.